Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
We're going to get into one of the important black and white comics of my youth, Ed, with Xenozoic Tales. Before we dive into this, let's talk about your black and white comic.
Red Room, issue 1 and 2 are available for pre-order at this very moment through the Fantagraphics website. If you hit my link tree in the description below this video, you're going to be able to get there. And stores are able to pre-order Red Room, issue number 1. Right now, it's going to be monthly, a horror comic that is singular in its storytelling. Every issue is completely self-contained. Every issue is brutal, high body counts, lots of blood, lots of gore. It's insane. And patreon.com/edpiskor is where you can read a lot of those comics ahead of time. $3 will get you to the archive. You can check those out.
Perfect for horror fans and gore hounds.
Yes, sir.
I am on patreon.com/JimRugg, where I post lots of my process, comics, art, behind-the-scenes stuff, Q&A, and I'm currently doing a page-by-page comparison of these two comics. These are both from Image Comics. Well, this one was not actually published by them, but it was the first story I created whenever they picked up Street Angel for Image Comics. This is the same story, but done about 200 pages apart, and same cartoonist, of course, and we enjoy doing those comparisons of same story, different artists. This is a good example. This is a page that I just went through showing some of the differences. I talk about those choices, point out those differences, share scripts, share sketches. Basically, it's a way to go through my process with a little different process approach. You can find that at patreon.com/JimRugg. But we are here today, Ed, to talk about Mark Schultz, Xenozoic Tales, Pennsylvanian Mark Schultz.
Yes, sir.
Grew up near Pittsburgh, and I've met him at a couple of shows, had the chance to thank him for making these. Published by Kitchen Sink Comics, they start in 1986. The first chapter, or the first appearance, is in Death Rattle number 8, and then it goes off into its own issue in 1987, but I mention that because 1986 is that apex of the black and white comics explosion, and I think this is a really interesting comic to come out of that time period. Much higher quality than some of those black and white explosion books. And I'm just going to start flipping through. This is going to be a bit of an overview. We'll look at a couple of the standout, noteworthy issues and stories. But the long story is, Schultz was he was an illustrator. He went to school for illustration. He was working as an illustrator and traded in a bunch of his childhood comics for a box of EC comics and fell in love with those. Wasn't fulfilled by the illustration, starts moving in this comics direction.
This happened when he might have been like in his 30s when he discovered those comics at the fateful Baltimore Comic Con when we invented cartoonist
kayfabe.
He came up to the table, was talking to us for a little bit, and it was cool to have that chance to speak to him, because that was the first time I ever saw him or talked to him. And I asked him about the EC influence, and he's like, because I just assumed he internalized that through his whole childhood, because it's so spot on. It's like you have your Jack Davis textures, got your Wally Wood textures. You'll see a little bit of like Al Williamson in construction.
I'm glad you say that, Ed. Let me just interject, because I'm going to keep flipping and go through some other issues, but it does evolve over the series. And you'll see like different EC, I don't know, artists, I guess, come to the forefront. So I'm glad to hear you point out like some of the Jack Davis stuff in this. This is the first issue. But continue your story, and everybody at home, continue watching this evolution as I keep flipping.
Right, yeah. So, he was like, no, man, I got a hold of EC Comics when I was like 33 or something. And that just blew my mind.
Yeah. He's gone on. I mean, primarily this is the comic that he's drawn. But he's gone on to write things. He's been writing Prince Valiant, I think, since 2004. Mm-hmm. Gary Gianni drew it for a while, and now Thomas Yates, I believe, is the artist. But he continues to write that, does a lot of like cover art and things. And Xenozoic really kind of took off. You know, it's commonly, you might know it at home as Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. It becomes a cartoon, it becomes a video game.
They really put a push out there to try to like make that thing happen. And it's kind of a perfect comic in a lot of ways for the creator, because I assume that he develops this ability to draw and then is like, well, what do I want to draw? How about some Cadillacs and Dinosaurs?
I'm so glad you said that. This was early 2000s, I remember there was a term like fusion comics.
Yeah.
And Street Angel was even been called that. And it really is like, what do you want to draw? Combine it all, you know, bring in all those different pieces. And this comic was probably one of the first examples of that I saw, because dinosaurs and Cadillacs don't really make sense. as soon as I opened this and started reading it, I didn't care about the logic.
So Jimmy, just for clarification for somebody coming in cold, the Epic Cadillacs and Dinosaurs comics are reprints of Xenozoic Tales?
Exactly. So this is issue 5. Epic Comics did 6 issues. This would have been around the time of this comic, you know, building momentum. It's interesting to think of this. We've talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and how that kind of ramps up. You start getting this interest, right? These licenses of different things, including Marvel that would do, you know, like they did ElfQuest would be another comic that they pick up, you know, and do a run of it at Epic. So they did the same thing with Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, and I thought it's fun to see a couple of, a couple pages to see the differences. There's a Comics Journal interview with Mark Schultz, and he talks about the experience of doing these Epic comics, and by the end of it, he was just done with it, specifically because of how poorly he thought the covers were colored. This was something that he calls out in that interview, and it just frustrated him because it was something they assured him in the beginning, you know, they'd work with him on, and then he was just unhappy with the quality of that. But kind of cool to be able to go in and look at what does this stuff look like in black and white versus color. And thinking about the EC comics again, it's kind of neat because you can find EC comics in black and white reprints or color, you know, and you can really look at that art and see how it works both ways. So part of the reason that Xenozoic is so big in my mind, and this is the issue that started, this was my first issue, issue number 9, I would find this with Kitchen Sink Comics. Like, I would do mail orders with them once in a while because I didn't have comic shops, and it was Black Hole, Charles Burns, it was From Hell, Eddie Campbell, and it was Xenozoic Tales. You know, the other Kitchen Sink book that I knew was Crow, which I did find somewhere. I didn't mail order that one, but it was the black and white stuff, and I would see this and just be like, this is what I'm doing. This is my sketchbooks. You can do beautiful, beautiful art. Like, it's not a compromise. At the time when I got hold of this, I thought, this is better looking art than anything I see at Marvel or DC.
Totally.
And that just opened my eyes to, like, black and white doesn't mean cheap or not good enough or you know, working your way to Marvel and DC. It's like, it can be really well done. And you mentioned Al Williamson. I always think of these kind of sky treatments as very Al Williamson-esque.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. And then this is, like, Roy Krenkel.
Yes.
There's the women are Frazetta women. Sometimes
100%.
Sometimes the proportions are like sometimes it goes back and forth. Like, there's Frazetta, there's Williamson, but then in the first issue that you showed us, there were definitely Wally Wood heads, where it was when you kind of look at photo reference and you draw a person proportionally well, they're not that 11 heads tall heroic figure, and they look squat compared to the superhero comics you're thinking of. And Wally Wood was good for that. You know, he'd often trace.
By the way, like, I don't know how old I was when I'm reading this, but a dude busting his rifle fails, somebody sabotaged it, and now he's swinging it at the dinosaur's head. Hand-to-hand combat with the dinosaur. How great is this? This really was like a perfect comic book for, you know, 14-year-old me reading this. Beautiful women, the cars look cool, great contrast between the cars and the dinosaurs. It was just, I loved it. And it's a big, he builds this world. This world is mankind goes underground for 500 years because of ecological collapse. The year they go underground, 2020. I always love whenever this stuff syncs up.
Everything you just said about the perfect comic for you, I mean, this is where the Hollywood, you know, tastemakers come in and are like, you know what, this thing has women, muscular dudes, dinosaurs, and cool cars. Like, let's license this. Let's try to do that. And, you know, there were action figures. The cartoon must have been in syndication because it was on zero stations in Pittsburgh. You would see animated commercials for the toys, and there would always be a push for the cartoon, but that shit just never aired in any big city.
I don't know how long it was on. It wasn't too long.
It wasn't on for any
season or two.
Probably episodes or two.
It's great that you point out, like, the Hollywood tastemakers latching onto something like this, because this could be awful. This is Aliens versus Cowboys or Dinosaurs, right, or whatever hell that movie was, where it's like, this is just the machine. Like, you put these couple of words together and you can sell it. This could have been that. You know, it's like Mark Schultz level of craft and commitment that keeps it from being that way. One Eisner's, you know, one recognition. There's an artist edition of Xenozoic Tales artwork out there. It's been published by several publishers after Kitchen Sink goes out of print, so you can find collections and compilations of this stuff. Very celebrated. I keep hoping for more issues of this. Please, Mark, if you're watching and listening. And I do hear that I believe there are some issues in the works, so hopefully we'll get to see some more Xenozoic Tales before it's all said and done. And it is one big epic story of these different characters. There's political intrigue in this like post-apocalyptic world as humans are rebuilding it, and some groups of them are very in touch with the ecological side. There are like, I don't know, man, lizard people, yeah, sort of, that live underground that correspond with them. So you get into like this whole big world of mythology that he's built. So I pulled out a couple of the later issues here. This is issues 12, 13, 14, total number of issues that have been published of this so far. My issue 14 is printed dark, which is why I'm not going to show it off. But it, I do want to show some of the evolution of his style, so I thought I would flip through these. This is still very stark black and white. Probably the height of his brush and attention to fine lines and detail. You see lots of screens. I like that part. We looked at Gary Martin's How to Ink comic books recently, and Mark Schultz is one of the guys who inks over a Steve Rude page and talks about his tools and thinking and process. And it's all on display in Xenozoic Tales, and you see it in some of the screen tones and the way he builds up these black and white images.
This era of Mark Schultz is Mark Schultz becoming Mark Schultz and kind of evolving beyond just the pastiche illustration style of the EC Comics guys. Like, you know, he's taken everything he's learned over those dozen issues of Xenozoic and is, you know, he's becoming himself.
There's one of your, like, those underground lizard people.
Yeah.
Shapeshifters. It's fun ingredients for a comic, like I said. As the series progresses, the issues would have like more and more time in between issues. So these last couple of issues, it's like 2 years between issues. And I think that's probably, you know, that and the collapse of Kitchen Sink are probably what leads to the end of this publication run at this time. I wanted to point out the letters page. Pete Morisi, wow, chiming in and giving an endorsement for great page layouts, composition, and art. The more I look at it, the more I want to look at it. Amazing. Pete Morisi, a longtime Charlton artist who I like. Some shades of Alex Toth, contemporary at that time. But I always love seeing like a pro like that show up in a letters column. And then got the license for Cadillac and Dinosaurs that he could add to the title. You can see towards the end of the run, he redesigns the title lettering and incorporates the Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. You know, getting that from General Motors is how you get to put Cadillac on your cover.
Right,
and it's noted, you know, in the letters page whenever that shows up. There's a pretty good, you mentioned Frazetta being like Frazetta women, and I think you can see a lot of that influence in this illustration. He starts doing, I don't know how this is reproduced, but it feels like this is grayscale rather than bitmap. Uh-huh. And you start to see like feathered lines, you start to see a wider range of gray material. And like I said, it can be printed, you know, I have one issue that's like this, but it's printed dark, which I assume is a printer issue. But it's kind of, as you say, this is Mark Schultz, you know, reaching the apex of Mark Schultz. A lot of covers I would see would be in this kind of style.
Right.
And he's gone on to do more writing than art for other companies, but done a lot at DC. And if you look at his bibliography, quite a list of credits, especially on the writing side, which serves Xenozoic well. You know, it's not just artwork. The guy gets hired to be a writer, speaks to what he's doing within this story and world. And if you love EC Comics, I mean, there aren't a lot, you know, shades of Dave Stevens at times, too.
For sure.
You know, another one of these guys who draws beautiful women and figures and great attention to inking and line work. So if you're into the comic art and illustration side of comics art, this will speak to you. If you're into that fantasy world, kind of future worlds, I think it will appeal as well. And like I said, I found it at that time period when I really was starting to look at black and white comics. And this one just grabbed me. There was no compromise in any way whenever I would look at this stuff. And that was very, very exciting. You know, it opened my mind up to what you could do with comics and black and white comics. Like, again, if you think this comes out of the black and white explosion, look at what it turns into.
For sure. Yeah, started off strong and ended strong. He's still in the game. He's still doing stuff. I'd like to see more issues.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it's nice to run into him. It shows. The backup, most of these issues do have a backup story, too, that Mark is writing. And Steve Stiles is your second story artist and same artist throughout. So little illustration of King Kong fighting a T-Rex. Great stuff. Anyway, one of the black and white comics that really changed my direction a lot as a reader and aspiring creator, and glad to show it off a little bit. Like I said, there is an artist edition of this out there, so may not be the last time we look at Xenozoic Tales on Cartoonist Kayfabe.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell, we'll notify you when new vids are available. What do you got, Jim?
You can join me on Patreon at patreon.com/JimRugg, where you can see more of my ruminations on comics, comics making, original art, all of that stuff, patreon.com/JimRugg.
Red Room Issue 1 and 2 are available for pre-order right now through the Fantagraphics website. It's going to start coming out on a monthly basis in May. My link tree in the description below this video will give you links to take you there. And also, it'll give you links to the Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor, where you can read these comics ahead of time. $3 gets you the archive, put up new strips every Tuesday, and the first two issues are live as we speak.
You can subscribe to Cartoonist Kayfabe's e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give him one more set of marching orders, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.